You're listening to the Living Unapologetically podcast, where you'll learn to thrive living the unapologetic lifestyle with your host, Shakita. She'll discuss entrepreneurship, life, faith, dating, and everything in between. You be unapologetically you, and she'll be, well, unapologetically her. And now here's your host, Shakita.
Welcome, 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 everyone. I am so excited about our guest on today. Oh my goodness, she is a mighty woman of God, and it has been my pleasure. It is an extreme pleasure to have her here with us on today. I'd just like to introduce everyone to Monique. Hi, Monique, and welcome to the Living Unapologetically podcast. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. Much appreciated.
Oh, you are so welcome. So let's just jump right into it. Why don't you go ahead and tell us your favorite scripture or quote?
Ooh, favorite scripture is tough. A few come to mind, but I will say Matthew 5:44, which is Jesus saying, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those that hate you, and pray for those that spitefully use you and persecute you." And that has definitely been a verse that I memorized at a young age in regards to coming up against people, especially people who don't like you because of your faith. And so that definitely has been a verse that I have held on to.
That is a very, very beautiful verse. And, you know, people don't really say that one often.
So no, they don't. Yeah,
it's definitely powerful. Why don't you tell us about your testimony?
Okay, so I do have a bit of a unique story. I asked Jesus in my heart when I was 3 years old, and I remember it still. And I was sitting on top of the blue slide in kids' church, and they asked if explain the gospel very simply. And asked if we wanted to ask Jesus in our heart. And I raised my hand. I remember bowing my head and praying. And at 4 years old, my mom started teaching me scripture. She started memorizing the Bible with me. She started teaching me about faith. And so because of that, my story is one, you know, we always hear that God is such a redeemer, which he is. And we always hear the stories of redemption. But mine is more of a story of preservation. God's also into preservation. And so because of developing a relationship with God at such a young age and really coming to understand how real he was, I never got into drugs, drinking. I'm still a virgin. I'm waiting until marriage to have sex. Never was on the party scene. Like, I don't even cuss. Like, I don't, like, it just is one of those things where God really has kept me. And he really has preserved me, even being in the midst of, you know, the culture we're in, born and raised here in Southern California. And I almost kind of feel like Samuel, in the sense that the Bible says how, you know, in the midst of the depraved culture that he was raised in, because even Eli's sons were so wicked, but even in the midst of that, God preserved him and God kept him. And that's kind of what I felt like God's done for me. So that's
Amen.
A little bit of my story.
Hallelujah. What a powerful testimony. 3 years old.
Yes.
Wow. And you still remember.
I do. I remember. Wow. And so that's why when people say, like, when kids, you know, tell you things or that they saw Jesus or an angel came and visited them or something, and how people want to kind of dismiss it. But it's like, no, I know it's real. And because of encounters that I've had with God since I was a little girl. So it's like, and little kids have so much faith, you know? And yeah. So my mom really instilled so much of the things of God in me at such a young age. And that's why at four, she started memorizing, teaching me verses. And we'd go over scriptures and teaching me how to pray. And so that is, a little bit of a different story. Because then even as I got older, I talk about it in my book. And when I was 10 years old, my mom had me reading 10 chapters a day.
Wow.
In the Bible. Mm-hmm. And that became a norm. And so I didn't like it because I was like, no one else is doing this. What? You know? But all through from like 10 up until like high school, I read 10 chapters every single day in my Bible. Like that was a norm. So it was kind of like so much of the word was put in me that by the time I got to high school was my mission field. And when a problem came up, like right away, a scripture will come up because I knew what God's word said because I'd spent so much time putting it in me. And so that's why my high school was like my mission field. You know, I was witnessing to my teachers. I was witnessing to other kids in class. I was laying hands on them and praying for them. And I saw so many instant healings and miracles. And my teachers, as I prayed for them, they would be crying and weeping because like the presence of God came into the classroom. And so it's like, for me, I had such a realization of how real God was. There was really nothing that the world had to offer that was tempting. Like, you could keep your sex and your drugs, because I just prayed for this guy and he just threw his crutches away in the trash. Like, God instantly healed him. Like, so it was one of those things where it was like, I knew that I knew God was never just like my mom's faith or my mom's religion. No, he was real to me. Like, he was my God. And I knew that at such a young age. So that's why I know that I have a little bit of a different testimony, not the norm, but I'm so grateful for God for preservation, because that's really done.
That is just so powerful, that testimony that you have, literally you seeing just that type of supernatural healing almost instantaneously, just the miracle signs and wonders in high school. That is so radical. Now, you mentioned that you are still a virgin, and you know, that is something that is like, what? Everybody's ears are like, what? Right? And you don't have to tell us how old you are, but can you give us a range of your age so that the listeners can kind of see, right, that you can still be a virgin in 2024, right?
Yeah. I don't mind sharing my age.
Okay.
If that's okay. Yeah. Okay. So I'm 41 years old.
So. No. Guys, I am looking at this woman right here. You talk about preservation. I'm thinking she's going to say 26, 27. You're a 41, Monique.
Yes,
no
I'm
way.
41.
I have to see your ID after this. I have to. So before we dive into the book and your mission and your ministry, you must tell us, how have you been able to obtain, you know, how have you been able to sustain in such a wicked and perverse generation, keeping your purity, keeping your heart, keeping your mouth, allowing God to keep your mind? What are some of the things you did? What would you say to people that are listening that want to, you know, repent today and live this life, right? What are some things that you would give them?
Definitely spending time in the Word. Like, I cannot stress that enough. There's a pastor that I love, and he always says, have a love affair with your Bible, where get it in you, read it, memorize it, ingest it, get it in you. And that's something that really has, I can honestly say, preserved me, because knowing what the Word says, applying God's Word to my life, living it out, acting it out on faith, has definitely helped sustain me. Now, doesn't mean I'm not tempted, and doesn't mean I haven't been tempted, because I talk about that in the first book of the, there was a time where I almost did have sex, and I came really close to it. But even in that moment, it was like I heard the Holy Spirit talking to me. And it was just one of those things where it's like, I couldn't even enjoy the moment because God was like right there in the middle of it. And so, and that is just the goodness of God, really.
Yes.
And so honestly, getting the Word in you and really developing a relationship with God. But I also don't put myself in situations though, because, you know, God's very clear when he says in Romans, make no provision for the flesh. Okay. Don't give yourself an opportunity to fall into sin. And so I do what I can to not do so. Like, even when I'm in relationships and even in dating, like since that time when that first happened, I've never come close to that again happening. And so, you know, learning from that. So I don't put myself in situations where that could even happen. So being in the Word, developing your relationship with God, and avoiding situations, not purposely putting yourself in situations that's going to cause you to compromise, is how you can really preserve yourself until your mate comes.
Yes. Oh my goodness. That is it right there. That is so Well said. Well said. And don't you, I mean, I love it when you are right there, right? And then you hear the Holy Spirit, right? And like you said, he's right there. You know, I'm like, oh, like you said, you can't even.
I was so conscious of him, and I was so conscious of not allowing something to happen.
Yes.
Because the Holy Spirit's right there, like talking to me. He's like, no. Don't let it. And so it was like, oh my gosh, even in the midst of that, like, he's just so merciful and so good, even in the midst of you about to fall into sin. Like, he
Praise God. Well, praise God. That is so beautiful. You know, let's talk a little bit, Monique, about your mission, kind of what you're doing today. Let's talk about your books. Let's talk about when God started leading you to write and kind of what that looked like and what you've written and where we can buy your books, where we can find your books.
Okay. So it's kind of funny because actually, so I'm a worship leader and I actually travel ministry doing worship. And that's always been my thing since I was a teenager. And then probably about, I'd say 4 or 5 years ago, randomly, I had three different friends who don't even know each other all call me in a 2 week period. And they all started off saying, you need to write a book. And I was like, what? You know, so I was like, I'm not a writer. I'm a singer. Like, I don't do that. And so after the third one, I was like, okay, God, maybe I should write a book, you know? And they were all saying about, you know, 'cause at that time, I think when I wrote the first book, I was 39. And so, you know, they're like, Monique, more people need to hear your story. More people need to know that there's people out there like you. And, you know, 'cause I'm not socially awkward or weird or ugly or, you know, like, I think people, I really wanted to kind of shatter the stereotype that if you're a virgin, there must be something wrong with you.
Come on.
Like, you're ugly, really, really overweight, can't get a date. Like, they think there's something. And so I really kind of wanted to shatter that stereotype. And
because you're beautiful. Like, you look like a model. I'm looking at a 10. You are incredibly beautiful. Incredibly beautiful, I must say.
Thank you. I so appreciate that. So when I wrote the first book is called Pursuing Purity Under Pressure. And because I understand being raised in Southern California, which is like, you know, all things sexual here. And in the midst, I went to public school my whole life. So I didn't go to like a private school or anything. And so just being in this culture, but not partaking of the culture and how, because that's why the Bible tells us, you know, when God's speaking to the children of Israel, when he says, come out from among them and be separate. And that's how we're supposed to do in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation. We're supposed to be separate. We're supposed to be different. And so in the first book, I really talk about the why behind the wait. Like, why is God asking this of us? Because I think, you know, I grew up in church my whole life, but as a whole, I will say, I feel like the church kind of did an injustice when it came to teenagers in regards to this topic, because they wouldn't talk about sex. Like, it was just, don't do it, wait until you're married, and that's it. And nobody went any further. And so I think we've been done an injustice in that sense where not really explaining why. And so I really wanted to give the why behind the wait. And so that's what the first book is about. And then the second book, I kind of feel like God's directing me a little bit more specifically to Christian singles. And that's kind of a lot where I've kind of been camped out here this last year or so. And the second book is called Satisfyingly Single for Now. And that one just came out this past November. So it's fairly new. And it's to really help singles how to do singleness well and how to prepare yourself properly, how to be emotionally healthy before you get into a marriage. And so that's kind of the direction that God has led me to and really honed in on this. So a lot of the events that I'm doing, a lot of the podcast interviews I've done, and I even started a mentorship program for Christian singles. So really, because I can relate as a woman who is 41 years old, I've never been married, I don't have any children, I still have a desire for both, for marriage and children. And so I can relate in like, God, what's taking so long? What happened? Did I do something wrong? Like, you know, I can relate to all those questions and those wonderings. And so that's kind of the direction that, yeah, that God has me right now is to minister to singles. So that's where it's at.
That is so beautiful, and that is so phenomenal. And I definitely want you to kind of, because that is something I hear a lot. Why, God? Why is it taking so long? Even me, you know, on my, you know, four-year journey of celibacy, and you're like, Lord, you know, you're praying, and you're like, where is he? And, you know, what do you say to women that are at that place when they're calling you? They're like, Monique, what do you say to that? How do you encourage them?
Yeah, I do. I get a lot of DMs. I even get like DMs from men, young men as well in their 20s. And they're believing God for a wife. And so I always say, you know, you've got to come to a place, first off, where you learn to be content with just you and God. Like, you've got to come to this place that if it never happened, that you're not going to be bitter. You're not going to be mad at God. You're not going to be upset at him, because you never got married. And so we've really, and I know that's a scary thing for a lot of singles, because they're like, I don't want to pray that. I don't want to think that would happen. You know what I mean? And so it's like, but I learned that, I'd say in my 30s, like my mid 30s, where I was like, okay, God, if I never got married, it would just be me and you. And I'm just going to go full force for you. And that's okay. I will just love you all the more, and I will have more time for you. And so I've already been content in my singleness. And I think discontentment is something that singles really need to come out of that place into a place of contentment in their relationship with God. That is something I would say would be probably the most important thing. And then afterwards is working on yourself as an individual, because in order for us to have, you know, we see the statistics of even in church, divorce is a 50% rate. But a lot of the problem is, I feel like in order for us to have healthy marriages, we need healthy singles. Yes. And people as individuals, a lot of people are not emotionally healthy. Mm-hmm. And it's really being introspective and taking a look at what things are there still childhood traumas you're dealing with. Is there still bitterness from a past relationship of someone breaking up with you? Is there still things that are still lingering that maybe you haven't even realized, and maybe it actually still hurts because you never fully allowed yourself to heal? You just wanted to move on because you didn't want to go through the process of healing, because that process can be painful. Mm-hmm. And so there's things that introspectively that we need to be healthy as single people. And so, and if you have done those things, because I have, and I'm like, I'm good, Lord, what's the hold up, you know? But even still, you just want to be in a place where it's like, okay, God, because then there's also like circumstances that we don't even know about that have to do with your mate, because maybe your mate's not actually ready for you yet. Or do you know what I mean? Like, maybe you need to be in a position physically, like a place that you need to be, but you're not ready to be at that place in order to meet that person. Like, there's a lot of things, a lot of moving parts, and there's a lot of things that I think we don't realize and see behind the scenes. And so because of that, we get frustrated. When realizing that you still have this opportunity as a single person to love Jesus even more. Because when you do get married, your time's going to be divided. And God knows that, and God's not bothered or offended by that. But the fact that you still have him all to yourself right now, enjoy that. Love that. Like, get the most out of it, of your relationship with God, before you enter into a relationship with someone else, into a marriage with somebody else. So that would be like my encouragement to fellow singles in their season of singleness.
And that's good. That's good. You have to learn to be content. The Apostle Paul says, listen, I've been abased and I've been abound, right? We have to know what it's like. And I like what you said. We have all this time with Jesus. Maximize, right? Maximize on the time that you have with your Savior, with your Creator, with your Redeemer. Like, utilize that time, right? I think that like, it's just well said. Well said.
I think at the end of the day, I think we forget that Jesus is the prize. And I feel like we have put marriage on this pedestal of being the end-all, be-all. And if I'm not married, that means there must be something wrong, and I must have done something wrong. when Jesus is the prize. And I think we've forgotten that. And that is the place that I want to encourage singles to get back to, that, oh, he's so worth it. I saw that, I have this quote that's on my social media that I pinned at the top, because when I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh. And it says, Jesus is worth everything you're afraid of losing. And so it's like, he is the prize. And so us falling in love with our Savior again and getting back to that place, like, it's just, that's full contentment right there. And that's the place that we need to get to. So, yeah, he's the prize.
Amen, amen. You know, Monique, this has been just so phenomenal. So what are your social media? How can we find you on social media? Where exactly can we find a book? And closing up, what advice would you like to give the listeners?
Yes, so you can find me on Instagram is I am Monique DeLeon. And then my website is my name, MoniqueDeLeon.com. And then you can just link through to everything, to the podcast, to I have a blog, to the books, to the mentorship program. Like, you can link through to everything when you go to MoniqueDeLeon.com. All the links are there at the bottom of the page as well. So, but I'm very active on Instagram. So I am Monique DeLeon is where.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And in your final words, your final remarks, what would you like to leave with the listeners?
So just be encouraged. Don't be discouraged because it hasn't happened for you yet. Like, I can relate. I fully understand. I'm like, Lord, I'm getting older. But remember, God is God and nothing is too hard for him. And you be encouraged, because even if you're like me and you're still believing for children, like, I'm in my 40s now and people are always trying to discourage me and be like, you're high risk pregnancy, yada, yada, you're not gonna be able to have kids. And I said, no, like, yes, in the natural, but we serve a God who is supernatural. And so it's like, I'm not concerned because God made this body. He knows how to preserve this body, how to keep all my eggs and my female organs functioning properly. Like, that is what I'm believing for. And that I will give birth. I said, God, even if you gave me one, I will be content with one. But I'm like, if I'm 45 having a baby, so be it. Like, I'm not concerned because I know who I serve and my faith is there. And so it's like, you know, get your faith up, be encouraged, don't be discouraged. Don't just think that you have to wait for someone to come in your life before you can really start living and enjoying it. Because my mentorship program is called Thriving in Singlehood, because you can be thriving in this single season. So my encouragement is, you be encouraged, get your faith up, spend that time with God in his presence. So, yeah.
Oh, it was so amazing spending this time here with you. Monique, you are just a light, just a firecracker. And I just bless God for this time. Thank you so much for coming on this podcast. I mean, I would love to have you back. I just thank God for this time. And I thank God for your transparency. And I thank God for you being with us on today. Thank you so much. May the Lord continue to bless you and keep you is our prayer here. God bless you.
Thank you. Much appreciated. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Shakita on the Living Unapologetically podcast. Join us next Friday when she discusses more of faith, entrepreneurship, and everything in between. Please visit our website for more information, www.iamshakita.com, or on Instagram @iamshakita. And don't forget to like and subscribe.